It's Peace Talk, your place to find hope, get help, and discover peace. I'm Larry Woods, your host, and we're happy to have you with us today. And I hope you don't think we're taking you for granted. I've thought about that in the past, but hey, if you're not out there listening, there's no reason for me to be here talking. So we're glad to have you to be a part of Peace Talk today. If you've been with the radio station for a few minutes, you heard our little intro about, hey, when mama's not happy, nobody's happy. I don't know if that's true all the time, but if it weren't true a little bit, we wouldn't have the statement. We wouldn't have the quote, and nobody would resonate with it like they do when they hear it. So it must be true. And sometimes when mama's not happy, we got to look, find out why. Well, it can be all kinds of things. But what we'd like to talk about today is, what if mama's unhappy because mama finds herself in a mess? Maybe one of her own creation. Most likely she's had a lot of help in creating the mess that she's in. It's a group project. Nobody does this on their own. But are there something that we can do to help mama so we can all be happy? And that's what we want to talk about today. This is going to be one of the more practical Peace Talk programs that we've had in a long time, because we're going to talk about getting organized. And we've got two ladies here in the studio that are going to help us with that. And they're going to tell us about their book, Organizing from the Heart. So I'm happy to have Beth Buettler and Stephanie Baker here with us. Let's just get right started. Beth, do you tell us a little bit about yourself, and then Stephanie, and then we'll talk about your book and why people need to hear us today and why they might need to take a look at the book.
Well, thank you, Larry, for having us. I do a lot of different things, but maybe the umbrella for a lot of it is called Hope Unlimited, which stands for helping other people excel for the glory of God, not for their own benefit so much. And I like sharing a variety of tips and encouragement through social media and other means for people to stay close to God and do life well. So I've been married for 25 years. Last year we celebrated our anniversary to Keith, and have a young adult son who's in his final year of college.
All right. And Stephanie, a little bit about yourself.
Hey, Larry. Thank you so much for having us today. I am a master Christian life coach, and I work with women all over who are wanting to move forward in their lives in various areas of importance. I help them clarify goals and put a plan of action together to reach those. And while they're doing that, while I'm walking alongside them, I keep them focused on that and provide an accountability structure. I'm kind of a personal cheerleader that way. I'm married to Jeff, and we live in Simpsonville.
Great. Well, you guys know what you're talking about then, don't you? And I know there's a little secret that you told me before we came in here, and that is, you're not experts on this in your personal life, are
Hardly.
You?
Hardly.
Yeah, I think it's important for people to know that, because I sometimes think they feel like, hey, we kind of live in an ivory tower, and there's a handful of people, they have it all together, everything is wired just perfectly, and then they go around trying to help everybody get wired just like them. But that's not the case here, is it?
No.
No. There was more than one time in the last couple of weeks, I think, where we're pulling our hair out and say, why did we commit to all of this in 1 week? Because we have an event tonight, too, a ladies' event we're doing, so it's interesting how much we will take on sometimes.
Okay, well, understanding that then, why did you feel it necessary to sit down and write a book about it?
Well, you know, you can find a lot of organizing books all over the place, but we decided to make a book out of what was originally Stephanie's class. I took a class from Stephanie, and then she let me take the information and also teach it to where I was at the time, and I decided that this could make a good book, a Bible study, or for an individual devotional, whatever format they want to use it in. And we wanted to take a look at a few different things than just tips. There are certainly plenty of tips in the book, but we wanted people, the readers, women primarily, to explore a little bit more about organizing from the spirit, their life with God, their aspect with, and others.
And hence the title, Organizing from the Heart.
From the Heart.
And I suppose instead of organizing from the head.
Huh? Absolutely.
Right, not just how to do it, but why.
A little bit different direction here. Well, Stephanie, then, We've said that, but then how is your book really different?
That's a really good question. You know, and there are a lot of different books that are out there on organizing and that give tips and tricks, but I think a lot of those books speak sort of to the society that we find ourselves in. Most people really want a quick fix now. They want to be able to read a chapter and have the answer to whatever their organizing challenges are. And so Our book is different. We approached it from an aspect of trying to get sustainable changes for people, not just a quick fix. And for anything to become sustainable, it takes time. And we have to look about it as a process, not just a single act. That's one difference for us. We're coming at it from maybe seeing getting organized as a journey, not just a completed act. And we're also a faith-based perspective to a topic that has been popular without bringing Christ into the solutions for getting organized. So we sort of come at it from that angle. There are some Christian books on organizing that are out there, but I think they're probably more in the minority than main, you know, the mainstream. And the other part that I would mention is just that Beth and Karina and I, and we want to do a little shout out to Karina, who's listening today too. She couldn't be with us. She's preparing for that event tonight. But all three of us came to this project with different backgrounds. And so I think that makes it a little bit different. Anytime you get three women together, something's going to come out of it that you didn't expect. I can promise you that.
Well, and Karina is the third author.
She
let's,
is.
Let's
yes.
point that out. Karina, and her last name is
Wisnant.
Wisnant. Mm-hmm. And so there's three authors to the book. Two of them could be with us here today. Well, let's talk about that a little bit, because I have an inbred fear or a little bit of a revulsion at the number of people who take things basically off the secular shelf, attach a few Bible verses to them, and then pass them off to Christian as Christian, in a sense. They're really not. They're just taking a subject and proof texting it. And I don't really feel that that's the way the Bible should be used. So Beth, we talk about the gospel here, and the whole point is, how do we bring the gospel into the reality of our lives? And of course, the reality of our life is we all live in homes and families. They create messes. We have schedules. We live in a stressful world. So how does your book bring the gospel into this issue instead of just taking ideas, attaching isolated verses to them, and calling them Christian?
Well, many of you are probably familiar with the term gospel being used a lot in Christianity today, gospel living, and trying to define, well, why do we use the word? Well, the gospel, first of all, is Jesus, to quote a friend of mine, another author. And Jesus was was the most unselfish person. And gospel living, to me, is essentially unselfish. If we look at the tension that we feel in families or we see in observant others, sometimes it is related to the home environment and juggling a schedule, who didn't do their chores, who isn't helping who, and the rub that is, that someone thought something was going to be done when they got home from work and it's not, or some other thing that, you know, the kid forgot this and we're scurrying them to school and then finding out they forgot something. And so that's where a lot of the tension and anger, when you said mama ain't happy, nobody's happy. Well, if we ask mama where some of the tension comes from, some of that does come from that. And gospel living would be to sit back and say, how can I be unselfish in this? I might be a little irritated right now, but is my yelling and screaming at my husband or my kids right now really going to help advance this process? And what can we do to fix some of the systems to actually have kind of a dance in our family, you might say, a rhythm that works for our family, that gives us the environment where we can live out that unselfishness that Jesus demonstrated?
It seems to me that my observation is that when we deal with selfish problems, it's hard to detach them from, in our relationships, a sense of entitlement from other people, that they have a role and they're not fulfilling it. Mm-hmm. And therefore, my anger is justified.
Yes.
And then I go from there. In your work, have you seen that to be true? This sense of entitlement that people have, does it come into the middle of this problem and become a real issue, and that's why the gospel is necessary?
I think in part, and if I might speak to the women, I may say some things that some women may feel a little bit, wait a minute here. A lot of times a woman has a very high influence in her home. We do believe that the husband is the head of the home, but as a supportive wife, we have a great deal of influence over the family schedule. If you ask, I mean, most of my friends, they're the ones that actually set up the schedule for the family and decide on a lot of things, how the home is decorated, what we're going to eat for dinner tonight, and all that. the danger that happens with that when the woman is the manager is she has to be careful that it doesn't have to be my way is the right way for everything to be done.
Or the only way.
Or the only way for everything to be done. And so some of this tension comes in is that, you know, she may, like one of the chores, I just like to have my bed made every morning. Now, I first admit our home is not the most pristine all the time. But for some reason, having the bed made is a big deal to me. And it's really special to me if I didn't get a chance to do it when I go home, if my husband happened to do it, and he'll do a better job at it than I do. He's more careful about it. But on the days that he might not, there's no real good reason for me to get angry at that, just because for me, I like to have the bed made. In the big scheme of things, to cause a big fight over whether a bed's made, because he could argue with me over whether I turned a cap on tightly, which a lot of times I don't. Sorry, honey.
Can I weigh in here?
So
absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm kind of thinking, I'm coming at it from maybe even another perspective, and that is that we walk around a lot of times with, I guess, maybe unspoken boundaries. And we're not communicating what our boundaries and our needs are. And certain temperament types, and Beth can attest to this because she teaches classes on this also, certain temperament types are more prone to, if they're not on that, they're more prone to saying in their minds, well, if you loved me, you would know what I want you to do. I shouldn't have to say it all the time. And so I think even though that may sound like common sense, it's not, because we are created differently, individually. And so when we think about that, we have to recognize that not everybody thinks the same way, and what may be obvious to me isn't obvious to you. And there are books that are written on love languages.
And I want to speak for the guys right here.
Please do.
I mean, my wife, I think, would attest that if there's a problem, it's a lot of times I say to her, you have to tell me. Don't make me sit around and try to figure out what's on your mind all the time or what do you want to do. Mm-hmm. I really do need you to tell me, because there's a whole realm of things out there that are possibilities.
Right.
And if you've centered down on one, I really need to know about it.
Right.
Or this is really going to get difficult.
Right.
We're coming up on our break. How can a listener get a hold of you, ladies? Where you've got other resources. We know about the book. We'll talk about that. But you both have websites. How do you get to them?
My website, and this is Stephanie, my website is lifeinabundance.com. And if you go there, there's a contact page. You can give me a shout out, and it will come. My phone number is there, or you can send me an email through that page.
And the blog that accompanies the book is organizingfromtheheart.com. And so we invite people to go there first to find out how to get copies of the book, and also to read. We try to have blog posts on there a couple times a week, so we have some fresh content on there regularly.
Okay, I know our listeners, if you've been with us through the whole program, you're saying, are you going to tell me something that I can walk out of here with that will help me get organized? Well, we'll do that when we get back. We'll talk about some of the practical tips and continue the gospel discussion about organizing from the heart. So join us in 2 minutes. This is Peace Talk, your place to find hope, get help, and discover peace.
Substance abuse, inappropriate relationships, cutting, social media. Do these issues sound familiar? How about the biggest one of all, America's teens' declining interest in the things of God? These are just some of the challenges that parents and teens are struggling with in today's culture. Licensed to Parent with Trace Embry is a biblically-based half-hour weekly radio program equipping you with insight for today's culture from a biblical worldview.
Monday mornings at 11 on Christian Talk 660 and 92.9.
Hey, this is Bob.
And I'm Robert.
We have the same shirt, same shoes,
same protection for our money.
Mine is in a credit union, protected up to $250,000 per account by NCUA.
Same as FDIC protects my bank account.
And a new law makes this coverage limit permanent
for both.
NCUA.
FDIC.
Virtually identical.
Learn how to keep your money NCUA safe at ncua.gov.
Before we rejoin today's program, let me say thank you for listening to Peace Talk. Each program comes with the prayer that you will find the peace that Jesus desires for you to enjoy today. But I'd like to take a minute to tell you about the website, peacetalk.com. Go to peacetalk.com and you'll discover that Peace Talk is more than teaching and great stories. We offer opportunities for bringing Peace Talk to you and your church. If you're caught in relationship-destroying conflict, at peacetalk.com, you can access relationship-restoring services. You will also find seminar retreat opportunities for your group. And at peacetalk.com, you can read the blog and sign up for our free email newsletter, Peace Mail. Follow us on Peace Talk and Twitter. And please, don't overlook the donate button, because Peace Talk needs your help. Peace Talk is all about you finding peace. Let's rejoin our program, and remember, Peace Talk is your place to find hope, get help, and discover peace. This is Peace Talk, your place to find hope, get help, and discover peace. I'm Larry Woods, your host. If you've been with us through the program, glad you stuck with us through the break. If you're just joining us, glad to have you as a part of the Peace Talk audience today. We've been talking about a book, Organizing from the Heart, and we've been talking about it from the standpoint of the spiritual nature of some of the conflict and the tensions that the disorganization can bring to us. Our guest is Beth Buettler, Stephanie Baker. They're the two of the three authors. Karina couldn't be with us today, but the two authors of the book, Organizing of the Heart. And we said, let's get some practical help. So Beth, let's kick it off. What are some of the criteria? What are some of the things that you need to know to understand, are you a stressed person? Do you need to get organized?
Well, if you are more often than not feeling you'd be really embarrassed if somebody happened to drop by your house, or if you are frequently losing important things, like wondering where your cell phone is or your keys, and I do go through that myself. That's a couple I can think of, Stephanie.
Again, I'm going to come at it maybe even from a little different perspective and say, if you are feeling a disconnect in your walk with Christ, it may be that you have got so many things on your plate that it's pulling you away from being able to spend time in His Word and in His presence and to hear what He has to say, and we're too distracted to receive that peace that He offers us in life.
So how do we go about that then? I mean, If you need to get organized, and you're saying these are just some of the indications that there may be an organizing problem, and the more the peaceful aspect obviously talks about uncomplicating your life. Is that part of getting organized?
Absolutely.
I think one of the important factors that makes our book distinctive and that is different from the typical advice you get is to look at organizing as an act of worship. We take that as the first chapter of the book because we want people to understand that God has given you an environment, a home to steward, and everything we do can bring glory to Him or distract from our relationship to Him. And I heard a rabbi speak just recently and mentioned the connection of the word service with the word worship and how we serve others and we are worshiping God when we are doing that. And so creating an environment of our home that is clean and organized is a way to serve our family and to thank God and have the gratitude for what He's given us. Now, one caveat of that is we too often feel like there's one set standard that indicates whether somebody is organized or not. And one of the other important factors in our book is we invite people to learn about themselves, their energy levels, mm-hmm. and their personality type. And what's important is how it works in your family. So Stephanie's way of organizing may be a little different than mine or Karina's. The important thing is how is your family environment enhanced by that, and not to compare ourselves with everyone around us and feel guilty or superior because of how we organize.
Stephanie, I want you to comment on this. It sounds like that one of the big problems here is a certain level of perfectionism that people might have, and because we live in a community and not everything stays picked up, then how does the perfectionist, how do they relate to this organizing question, and how does that relate to the tension sometimes in the home?
Well, I think when we talk about perfectionism, and as you know, in our book, we've sort of touched on that topic, and I think when we talk about perfectionism, what we're talking about is something that causes stress not only for ourselves but in our relationships. It's really something that we're setting ourselves up for failure on. No one is perfect. And if we go back and we look at what the Bible tells us, even God's idea of perfection is nothing we will attain. Our goal here is to be made more in His image. And so as we look at perfectionism, I think it puts stress on relationships because it affects our ability to show grace to other people. If we are immersed in being perfect in everything that we do and we're putting that on someone else, or we are putting it on ourselves, we're setting ourselves up. There's a difference between doing something with excellence and expecting perfection. I don't know if that's, Beth, you want to add to that?
Well, I think you've said it. There's a difference between excellence and perfection. And perfection, at the root of perfectionism, a lot of time is pride. And we know what God says about pride. And so,
one of the things I noticed in your book, and I thought was very practical and very helpful, is that you talk about organizing in a sense that, yeah, you actually do accept a certain level of imperfection.
Yes.
Yes.
Like you mentioned, you know, if you're going to have guests and you like to have guests and you want to be open, well, then learn how to keep those parts of your house that the guests might go to,
right,
have those in good shape. Or you make tips in the book on how to always keep certain kinds of foods in the house, maybe in the mm-hmm. freezer or something. So if anybody shows up,
right,
you say, hey, no problem.
Right.
No problem. I can take care of that.
Absolutely.
We can do it. But we get used to a certain rhythm that does not have to everything in its place. Well, yeah, maybe at this moment it's in its place in the living room, mm-hmm. but I respect the fact that I have rooms I don't let people go in.
Yes, sure. That's right. And sure. And may I mention, like teenagers, a lot of stress starts happening when teenagers don't want to keep their rooms quite as neat as parents do. And I encourage you parents to work with your teen and allow them some time to just shut the door kind of thing, as, you know, if it's not unsanitary maybe, but let them have some space, because down the road you want to give them the freedom to make choices as they go out on their own to have their own level of neatness and not just a family-imposed one that they may rebel against when they leave the house. So.
You're listening to Peace Talk, and our guests today are Beth Butler and Stephanie Baker, and they're talking about their book, Organizing from the Heart. And one of the things I noticed in the book that I thought was rather interesting, I've heard of this in other contexts, but Stephanie, you talked about the book, a house prayer walk. Describe
yes.
that to us, not only what it would be, but what do you think is the benefit of it to somebody who's feeling the stress and tension of the home?
Sure. And it is just a wonderful thing. I've gotten a lot of feedback from students that sat through the original class that Beth did on their opinion of this. I heard about that concept or read about it quite a while ago in another book by author Mindy Starnes Clark. And the concept is that we are going through a process of bathing our home in prayer. And before we start any large organizing project, and we tend to think in terms of, oh my gosh, the whole house, we sort of decide that we're going to rededicate our homes to Christ, and we're going to walk through there. We're going to bring God into every room with us. We're going to ask Him to bless the people or the person that resides in that room, maybe that sleeps there. We're going to talk to God about our concerns about that person or about the activities that go on in that room. We're going to bring Him into it. We're going to ask Him to show us what we need to know about our home in relation to that room or those people. And then we just go through the entire house in prayer. We might repeat Psalms or our favorite Bible verses, whatever those are, but we are connecting with God, and we're giving Him back what He's given us to steward. And so we're bringing Him into the process. And the thing that we all have to remember is, no matter what our objectives are in organizing, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, and that puts the focus on His help, not our abilities. I think we go into organizing a lot of times and we think God doesn't care. This is one of those, you know, how do you know that you're disconnected? Mm-hmm. And we think God doesn't care about our getting organized. Why would He care about that? This is my house. He doesn't care about my mess. Yes, He does. He cares about every aspect. He numbered the very hairs on your head. He cares about the fact that you now have to clear a pathway mm-hmm. in your bedroom just to get to your bed at night. You know, and so by prayer walking, we're bringing Him into that. And during the prayer walk, it might be that as you're going through, you want to ask Him to show you even where a great place for you to have your morning devotional would be, just to point out where that might be. But again, we're moving from room to room. We're bathing the house in prayer. We're asking God to be the center of our home and our relationship. And we're giving Him praise. We're giving Him praise for everything that He's blessed us with to be a steward of. So,
it seems to me when I hear both of you talk that one of the issues in this whole thing is that we forget the relationship aspect of our involvement with people. And all of a sudden, things like being in order, being organized, all of this can actually drive relationships out.
Yes.
And I think that's what your book is really ultimately all about. And how can you make your home a place where the relational gospel can be lived out with without all of this other stuff eventually getting in the way, not that it's bad, but at the same time, it becomes harmful when we so structure that and realize we're ruining relationships because somebody's left something on the floor.
Well, have you been to someone's house that is such a perfectionist about cleaning and organizing that you don't feel you can relax there? You actually kind of feel like you're walking into a museum. So you need to find a balance that allows you to serve people where you're not going to be picking up their water glass before they've even finished drinking it type of thing. But at the same time, you want it organized enough where if somebody drops in, you're not ashamed to have them use the restroom, or you have some brownies you can cook up real fast or something like that. So
I think it's the Mary Martha concept that we kind of go back to that. Mm-hmm. Are we so focused on it's something that feels like legalism almost, or are we allowing ourselves the freedom to be good stewards of our home environment so that we can serve Christ by bringing other people in and by developing relationships, or, you know, are we getting lost in the process and missing what he wants to bless us with in other areas?
Okay, we're coming down to the end of the program, so I'm going to give you each an opportunity in a second to mention the one thing that you would like the listener to walk away from, because there's lots of stuff in the book. We've not covered hardly any of it. So is there one thing that you would hope that a listener would walk away from our little discussion here believing? But it seems to me that what you just talked about, the prayer walk, the worship aspects, and all of that, the big part of this whole book is finding out what your home is all about, mm-hmm. and then organizing around that.
Right.
As opposed to organizing around all of the little details and all of the stuff of life, is why do we have a home? Why has God put this little group of people in it? And what's the bigger purpose in our living here together?
I think for what I'd like to encourage the listener, and especially women, for coming from a woman who is hard on herself, is to let yourself be motivated by a love for God and a gratefulness for what he's given you rather than guilt and comparison with everyone around you.
And I think that's gospel work at that
mm-hmm.
point. That's gospel heart change. Stephanie?
I think in helping everybody to sort of look at the process of getting organized, just realizing that instead of focusing on completion, focus on the commitment to actually work towards it. In other words, don't focus on the whole dresser, focus on one drawer that needs to be cleaned out.
Mm-hmm. So start small.
Start small and realize
progress,
perfection. Small steps.
That's one
small
of the chapters.
How many
right.
of us have failed to even start a project because we thought it was just so
right.
big? Where
right.
do you where
right.
do you bite this apple?
Right.
So the apple never gets bitten.
Yeah.
And and the process is never then completed. Our guest today has been Beth Butler and Stephanie Baker. We only have 1 minute real quick. Beth, if they want to get a hold of you or the website and the book, what is it again?
Organizingfromtheheart.com, and you can also reach me. I'm on Facebook, facebook.com/Beth Butler, and I've got a lot of contacts there. Join me.
Stephanie?
Again, it's lifeinabundance.com. I have a coaching practice that website talks about, and you can reach me through the contact page that you see there. It has an email address and a phone number.
Our guests have been Beth Butler and Stephanie Baker, and they've been talking about their book, Organizing from the Heart, which is their contribution to the community of how we can bring the reality of the gospel right into the stuff of our lives, some of the messes that we're in, and how the gospel can actually bring heart change that really does bring peace. And that's what Peace Talk is all about. So we thank you, ladies, for being with us. We are glad our audience was with us today. We just remind you, this is Peace Talk, your place to find hope, get help, and discover peace.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.